Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're plunging into a topic that, well, it truly underpins global connectivity and trade. The critical impact of tariffs on maintenance, repair, and overhaul, or MROs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the unsung heroes that quite literally keep our planes in the sky, making sure everything from commercial jets to military aircraft are safe and airworthy.
Absolutely vital work.
Our mission today is to cut through the noise, give you a shortcut to being well-informed on what's frankly a very complex issue. We're drawing insights from a really timely article in Aviation Maintenance Magazine.
Just published yesterday, right? June 24th, 2025.
Exactly. Titled, How MROs Can Survive Tariffs. Advice from the experts. It's packed with fascinating perspectives from industry leaders, and our expert guide is here to help us unpack it all.
Yeah, what's truly fascinating here is how directly this topic impacts not just the aviation sector, but, you know, it also offers invaluable lessons for pretty much any business navigating these unpredictable economic shifts and supply chain pressures.
Right.
We'll be hearing directly from key voices who are really on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
People like Hamish Martin, a partner at LAVA Advisory Partners.
Okay.
Megan Welsh, managing director of Brown Gibbons Lane Company.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Brumit, who's the managing director for aerospace and defense at Main Point. Their insights really offer a kind of roadmap for resilience.
Okay, let's unpack this difficult landscape then. The article immediately hits us with what it calls an unpleasant new reality for MROs, and that's driven by tariffs.
Right.
It points out, and this is a direct quote, that these tariffs are an integral aspect of Donald Trump's legislative platform. Now, before we go further, it's really crucial we remember, we're just reporting on the source material here.
Yeah.
We're not taking any political stance, just focusing on the economic ripples these policies are causing within the industry.
Understood.
So Hamish Martin from LAVA Advisory Partners, he really zeroes in on the core problem. He says tariffs continue to present significant challenges for the aviation maintenance sector,
mm-hmm.
particularly in terms of cost predictability and supply chain efficiency, with the ability to forward plan hampered by the ongoing state of flux. So it's clearly not just about the direct cost hitting the bottom line, is it?
No, not at all. It's really about almost a paralyzing uncertainty. I mean, imagine trying to bid on a long-term maintenance contract or committing to a major overhaul for an airline when you have, frankly, no idea what your parts will cost next month.
Right. Or even if you can get them.
Exactly. Or even if they'll be available at all. That ongoing state of flux, Martin mentions, it doesn't just impact profit margins. It cripples strategic planning.
Mm-hmm.
It makes inventory management a nightmare, and it erodes the reliability of the entire supply chain. And for MROs, where, you know, precision and punctuality are absolutely paramount, this is existential.
That makes perfect sense. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it helps explain why the MRO sector seems uniquely vulnerable. Megan Welch of Brown Gibbons Lang & Company highlights this.
She does.
She points out that MRO is one of the sectors that is feeling more of the pain than other subsectors of aerospace and defense.
Right.
Both on the price side of the tariff and on general parts availability, which is already pretty scarce in the market today. So the natural question here is, why? Why exactly is MRO feeling this pain more intensely?
Well, it comes down to a pre-existing condition, if you will.
Yeah.
There was already a big supply-demand imbalance for MRO parts and repair capabilities. This imbalance was already creating challenges. Things were tight. But tariffs have simply, as the article puts it, exacerbated it, sort of throwing gasoline on an already smoldering fire.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets really interesting for you, the listener. We've also seen news, right, about China and Boeing, order cancellations, things like that.
Yes, those delays.
Exactly. Those delays further slow down new aircraft production. Now, think about what that means. It directly translates to airlines flying their older aircraft longer.
Which means more maintenance.
Precisely. An aging fleet means a dramatic increase in the need for MRO services. More inspections, more repairs, more overhauls.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is the paradox, the very policies potentially driving this increased demand are simultaneously making it harder to get the parts and resources needed to meet it.
That's a tough spot.
Yeah, this complex interplay is absolutely key to seeing both the challenges and maybe some unexpected opportunities emerging.
So, okay, we've painted a pretty challenging picture of what MROs are up against, but the big question is, what can they actually do about it?
Right.
The article then shifts gears. It turns to Chris Brumit, managing director for aerospace and defense at Main Point. He talks about practical, tried and true methods that businesses can lean on right now.
Mm-hmm. And main point, just for context, there is a supply chain and operations implementation firm really focused on delivering measurable economic returns in cost and cash flow. So very results oriented. And this really highlights a fundamental truth for any business. Doesn't matter the industry or the economic climate. Brumit wisely states that most businesses, whether in strong or weak economic times, must strive to be more efficient, reduce costs, and deliver quality products to their customers on time. It sounds basic, but it's crucial.
Especially now.
Especially now. His firm's clients are experiencing what he calls dramatic swings. They're being forced to reassess their strategies on short notice. And we're not talking minor tweaks here.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, a 20-30% cost increase on a crucial component basically overnight, or lead times for essential parts stretching from weeks to months. This fundamentally impacts their operational capability.
Their ability to deliver.
Exactly. Their ability to meet deadlines. And ultimately, it just drives up their costs significantly. It's a constant high-stakes recalculation just for survival.
So what specific areas does a firm like Main Point focus on to help companies in that situation?
Well, their work with, for example, a composite aircraft parts company really illustrates their two critical areas of focus. First is strategic sourcing.
Okay.
To improve procurement maturity and reduce material cost. Now, this isn't just about finding the cheapest supplier today. It's about building more robust relationships, understanding global market dynamics, optimizing the entire purchasing process.
Moving beyond just reacting.
Precisely. Moving from reactive buying to a proactive, data-driven approach that can insulate you somewhat from price shocks and supply chain vulnerabilities. And second, they focus heavily on operations excellence.
Right.
To drive improved productivity, quality, and throughput. This is all about streamlining the shop floor itself, reducing waste, improving workflows, getting more work done right the first time, ultimately moving those aircraft through the maintenance bays faster.
That makes a lot of sense. It sounds like leaning on external expertise, especially for those kinds of efficiency gains, is a crucial first step for MROs trying to navigate this.
Absolutely.
But in such a volatile market, how quickly can these firms really deliver tangible results? Are we talking long-term strategic overhauls, or is there more immediate impact?
That's precisely where Brumit emphasizes their value. Main Point's approach, as he puts it, is implementation-based. And directly impacts cost and cash.
Ah, implementation base.
Yes. They're not just dropping off a consulting report and leaving. They roll up their sleeves and work with the clients to ensure they're delivering bottom line results pretty quickly.
Which must be vital right now.
It's vital when companies are, as he says, forced to reassess their strategies on short notice. So for you, the listener, this really underscores that even when you can't control external factors like tariffs, you can always control and significantly improve your internal efficiencies and operational capabilities.
Okay, so internal efficiency is key. But beyond just, you know, trimming the fat and becoming more efficient, the experts also point to more transformative strategies, like diversification.
Yes, that's a big one.
Megan Welch highlights that the airlines have been cutting routes, leading to concerns that there's going to be reduced passenger travel.
Mm-hmm. A real worry.
So she suggests a smart move is diversifying into commercial freight and even the military side of MRO. That seems like a direct, pretty intelligent response to those market shifts.
Indeed it is. And this raises a really important question for, well, any business facing disruption. How can you pivot your existing capabilities, your core skills? How can you apply them to tap into new markets or segments?
Right.
For MROs, if passenger travel dips, well, the engines, the airframes, the complex systems they know how to maintain are still absolutely needed for cargo planes or military fleets. It leverages their core expertise just in a different context.
And the article also mentions focusing domestically.
Yes. Focusing on domestic markets is another potential strategy noted. It could boost revenue streams, as those markets might be less directly affected by cross-border tariffs.
And Hamish Martin from LFA Advisory Partners, he chimes in on this too. He notes that while cross-border deals now require more careful navigation,
understandably,
the focus on regional self-sufficiency is opening up fresh avenues for investment. He even suggests tariffs, perhaps surprisingly, could act as a catalyst for long-term competitiveness and value creation.
How so?
By prompting a wave of exits from innovative founders. That hints at bigger, maybe structural changes happening in the industry.
Absolutely. It's not just about survival. It sounds like it's about evolution. Both Welch and Martin see increased M&A mergers and acquisitions opportunities emerging from all this pressure.
Interesting.
Welch observes that smaller companies that are getting squeezed on overall costs, you know, think about those rising material prices, dwindling margins, they're creating M&A opportunities for some of these larger consolidators.
Right. Classic market consolidation.
Exactly. And Martin agrees. He sees increased interest in local partnerships and regional consolidation. Why? Because that can strengthen supply chain resilience and create new growth opportunities within a region.
Makes sense.
He points out that this whole scenario actually drives innovation in sourcing and logistics, and it encourages more agile and adaptable business models. So while some smaller players might exit, their innovation or niche capabilities could be absorbed by larger entities, potentially creating stronger, more robust players overall.
That's certainly a significant strategic shift. But, you know, with M&A, particularly in a distressed market like this might be, aren't there also substantial risks for the buyers, especially when integrating smaller, potentially struggling companies?
Oh, that's a crucial point. Absolutely, there are risks. While the article doesn't delve deeply into the nuts and bolts of M&A integration challenges, the implication from both Welch and Martin seems to be that the potential strategic benefits.
Like gaining market share.
Right. Gaining market share, acquiring specialized capabilities, or crucially, strengthening those regional supply chains. These can outweigh the risks, but only if the due diligence is incredibly robust.
Got it. Due diligence is key.
The goal is always to build a stronger, more resilient portfolio in the end. But what's perhaps even more compelling is an idea linked back to Chris Brumit. The idea that MROs could explore entirely new revenue streams, ones that aren't tied to physical goods at all.
Sidestepping tariffs completely.
Exactly. Sidestepping tariffs entirely.
Okay, tell me more about that. What kind of offerings are we actually talking about here?
Well, it's a truly sort of outside-the-box idea that Chris Brumit highlights, drawing from his own firm's experience. He points out that Main Point, being exclusively a service business, isn't generally affected by tariffs because, as he says, tariffs are directed at physical products.
Right, tangible goods.
So this opens up a fascinating avenue for MROs themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What if they expanded into service offerings that aren't physical goods? Think about it. Maybe paid online troubleshooting portals for operators.
Ah, like expert support online.
Exactly. Or virtual diagnostics using augmented reality, where an expert back at base guides a mechanic remotely.
Wow, okay.
Comprehensive over-the-phone support, maybe tiered support for mechanics in remote locations, or even developing and selling digital training and certification programs for new maintenance techniques.
All leveraging their core knowledge.
Precisely. These are all high-value services that leverage that deep MRO expertise and intellectual capital, but they completely sidestep the tariff burden because they're intangible. It's a compelling way to diversify revenue streams into digital assets, which, let's face it, are becoming increasingly important in just about every industry.
That's fascinating. Okay, but of course, we can't talk about MROs and tariffs without addressing the ongoing saga of supply chain disruptions.
The elephant in the room.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The article reminds us that even before COVID, the aviation supply chain faced delays, and now tariffs have just, quote, messed things up again. So how are MROs adapting their basic day-to-day business practices just to cope?
Yeah, this is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's impacting the fundamental ways MROs do business. Megan Welch notes a really significant shift here.
What's that?
She says MROs used to see a lot more MRO shops operating on a purchase order basis. You know, a client calls up, places an order for a specific repair or part that MRO fulfills it. Very transactional, very ad hoc.
Okay.
But now, she says, we're seeing them move towards a short contractual agreement basis with potential customers.
Contracts instead of POs.
Exactly. Shorter term contracts, maybe not multi-year deals, but contracts nonetheless. What this means for MROs, and for you the listener thinking about your own business, is moving to more structured agreements.
Why the shift?
It helps them lock in certain terms, even for a short period. It helps them better forecast demand, secure pricing for critical parts, and labor where possible. It just gives them a bit more stability and predictability in this incredibly volatile environment compared to that old reactive ad hoc system. It's really a move towards de-risking their operations day to day.
And how does a firm like Main Point, Chris Brumit's firm, specifically help clients navigate these incredibly complex and, well, fluid supply chain woes?
Well, Brumit notes that tariffs, obviously, can create direct financial pressure and significant supply chain disruption. No surprise there.
Right.
He highlights that Main Point focuses on helping clients offset the impacts of the tariffs and reduce other cost areas to rebalance operations and restore performance. So it's about finding savings elsewhere to compensate.
It's a rebalancing act.
It is.
And
their core promise, as he puts it, to deliver on what we commit to and focus on total client satisfaction, is apparently backed by extensive analytical tools and a rigorous due diligence process.
Data-driven decision.
Absolutely. So for you, the listener, this just reinforces the idea that even in really tough times, strategic data-driven action isn't just about, you know, knee-jerk cost-cutting. It's about fundamentally rethinking how you operate to mitigate risks, drive results, and ultimately build a more resilient business model for the long haul.
It's quite a stark reminder, isn't it, that even the most established industries can be thrown into, well, chaos by global policies. But what we're hearing here is also about incredible resilience and ingenuity. So wrapping up, while the article concludes, perhaps realistically, that there are no surefire solutions or magic bullets for surviving tariffs.
No easy answers.
But the advice from experts like Hamish Martin, Megan Welch, and Chris Broomit does offer clear, actionable pathways. We've seen how MROs are navigating cost predictability, tackling supply chain efficiency head on, and even finding entirely new avenues for growth through things like creative diversification and strategic M&A.
And this all really boils down to one crucial question for you to consider, regardless of your own industry. What unexpected opportunities or strategic pivots might exist in your business or your field, even when you're facing significant external pressures that seem completely beyond your control?
That's a great takeaway question.
Because the ability to assess, adapt, and innovate, as we've heard described today, isn't just about surviving the tough times. It's really about building a fundamentally more resilient and future-proof enterprise for whatever comes next.
A huge thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We really hope these insights provide you with a clearer perspective and perhaps even spark some aha moments for your own work or interests.
Also too.
Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep thinking.